I want to be. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, Absolute Monastery, all that good stuff here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. My topic, I want to be. Our new guest keeps giving me ammunition to work with here, and other people do the same thing. In my career as a practitioner, I have gone to many hospitals, talked to many people, and I'd say it's about 20 to 80%. 20% want to live, 80% want to die. And they want to die because they have no reason for living. And the doctor gives them prescriptions and they don't follow it. The doctor gives them diets and they don't follow it. The doctor tells them, if you don't stop smoking, you'll die. And of course they do. And a number of our very famous movie stars were given this prescription by their doctors and they went right ahead and died. Yul Brynner was one of them, from The King and I, you know. And he's very foolish, because smoking was the thing he grew up in, and of course he had to smoke for his movie scenes and things like that, and so it was a habit that was hard for him to break. Now, you look at a lot of movie stars, they got everything. Lots of money, beautiful bodies, beautiful homes, beautiful careers, the public delights in them, and they go take drugs. And they get themselves fucked on drugs. And here the first lady, Mrs. Ford, Betty Ford, her husband was president of the United States and did a beautiful job, one of the quality type presidents that we had, and she got fucked on drugs. And she had to have help getting off, or was it alcohol? I think it's probably alcohol, not drugs, because she just couldn't handle it. And so she got knocked out on it, and she's had the Betty Forbes clinic for people who have problems with alcohol and drugs. Very, very helpful with them. And so this is the way it goes. People who have everything to live for hurt themselves on purpose. And you say, well, when you're fat, you know, like a ton, and what are you going to do? How are you going to get rid of it? Well, it just depends. If your doctor says it is excessive and it's harmful to you, then have it taken off. There's liposuction, there's all sorts of things, and there's diets, and there's doctor-controlled diets and stuff. And I'm talking about really fat people, you know, who really, their lives are in jeopardy because of their weight. But they don't care. Now, Douglas was telling me that he went through a special program in which he was given a diet that he had no choice but to take, and the diet completely took away his body fat and left his muscle, and he was a lean, mean machine. And he never felt better in his life, he said. And he was not able to smoke during that period of several years, too, 4 years, wasn't it? And so his breath was great, his lungs were great, everything about him was tippy-top. And so the first thing he did when he was off of the control was to go out and tank up and eat and more than he needs, and eat foods that were not compatible with his excellent diet, which made him feel super in health. And he got hooked on cigarettes again, so that he cannot live comfortably without smoking a cigarette now and then. And we do it to ourselves. I mean, it's so foolish. We have everything going for us. Here he was under a forced situation where he had to go on that diet and no smoking. I mean, they really wouldn't let him have anything. And he came out smelling like a rose. He came out like how Arnold Schwarzenegger should, you know, with a perfect masculine body for an Adonis that he was, you know. And the first thing he did was to say, well, I got to have this, I got to have... He didn't have to have it because he didn't need it anymore. But he thought he did. He thought he did. Now, when you buy a hamburger, do you buy the small one, medium, or large, or double large? Well, if you're hungry, you buy the double large. Well, you don't need it. You don't need it. If you buy just a medium or even a large hamburger, it's plenty big. And I have given Ingeborg a chore here of taking care of Rex and making sure that Rex stays with her right here. And she's letting Rex walk around because she thinks that it's charming for Rex to be walking around and be free. And Rex wants to be controlled. Rex wants someone to say, sit. And when someone says, sit, then he sits down, then he's down. Now he'll stay there. Now he doesn't need any toys. He doesn't need anything. But we think he does because we look at him as we look at ourselves, which is a very foolish thing to be. Now what do we want to be? Do we want to have perfect health? I had a woman here who wanted perfect health, down. And the woman broke off the diet right in the middle, after the first month, and she didn't follow through on it. And so her perfect healing didn't take place like it could have. And this happens to many of us because we feel we need to have that cigarette we need, which we haven't had for years. We need to have that drink of beer, which we haven't had for years. And we let ourselves be possessed by that. And being possessed by that only makes trouble for us. And it only leads us into trouble that is going to kill us. Now, do we want to die? Yes. Every person born on the face of the earth, more or less, wants to die. Yeah, they say, what's the only thing that's definite in the world? Come on. And? Taxes! Death and taxes. I mean, you know, isn't that something? The only thing definite in the world that you can't get away from is death and taxes. Well, I can tell you a way to get away from taxes very easily. Don't earn any money. Let your job support you and pay you and so forth, and you never have to pay taxes. And you can have a beautiful circumstance. Do you think the monks and the nuns and the monasteries and convents are paying taxes? No. Do they have enough to eat? Do they have enough to wear? And they're forced to go on their spiritual journey. They're forced to meditate. They're forced to take these times to do the very things that we would like to force ourselves to do. We would like to do, but we don't have the courage to do it. We don't have the courage to do it. Once we have the opportunity, we don't do it. Now, why don't we do it? Because we say, well, I want to watch the radio and the television. I want to go and do these walks. I want to, you know, have the freedom. People come up here and we tell them at the monastery that there's no access to town. If they want to leave us, fine, go ahead. But there's no going back and forth to town. They may go to town and do the shopping. They may go to town and take care of the cleaning or something, or buy some merchandise that we want. But they don't go to town. Now, we're giving this wonderful talk right here, and Ellen is concerned about her dog wanting to go in the bedroom to lie on the bed. And the dog doesn't realize that's not the bedroom any longer, and there's no bed in there. But he wants to go in there because that has been his habit at every mealtime and at every talk time. And so Ellen's attention is turned back to him. Turn back to him, turn back to him, turn back to him. And with that turn back attention, what happens? She's not learning about to be. And maybe she knows it already. Do you know it already, Ingeborg?
Yes.
That's good. So when you know it already, that's beautiful. Okay, now, Ingeborg, what is the most important thing on your journey to be yourself?
To be myself.
What is the most important thing on your journey to be yourself?
Believing in myself.
The most important thing on your journey to be yourself is self-discipline.
Of course.
If you don't have self-discipline, you can believe in yourself, you can do all these things, and you fritter it away by not being consistent.
Yeah.
See? If you don't believe in yourself. Now, we've always had a rule here that the dogs are put away whenever we're going to give our talks. And we haven't been doing that lately because the dogs have been quiet. Except for Button, when he sees a rabbit, he, no matter where it is, he's got to tell us that he really should go out there and take care of that rabbit. And we don't want him to be a murderer. You say, well, a dog kills rabbits because that's a dog's nature. Is that its nature? Mm-hmm. Is man's nature to kill?
No.
Is man's nature to love?
Yes.
Is man's nature to be a spiritual master?
Yeah.
Is man's nature to walk the path 24 hours of the day? Is man's nature to find great joy in walking the path? That is a lot of fun. Does man's nature to find great happiness in seeing all the world, his reflection?
Yes.
You see, that's our nature. That's our nature to be. Now, are we willing to pay the price that it calls for to do that? And that means we do not feel sorry for ourselves, that we don't have the activities that everybody else has. Some of our students, they come here, and some of our people here on campus, they say, well, look at so-and-so. They went back to their everyday life, and they're so happy, and they're doing the things they want to do, and they're having a lot of fun, and they're doing lots of good stuff. And then I say to them, okay, go join them. Why don't you go join them? Because what they're not doing is they're not spending the majority of their time on their spiritual path. What should happen to us if we spend the majority of our time on our spiritual path? And don't answer. What should happen to us as we spend the majority of our time on our spiritual path? What should happen to us is that we should be the happiest people in the world. We should have the most fun of anybody in the world. We should find such a delight in looking at the sunset, the sunrise, and looking at the plants as they're growing and preparing the meals. We should have such a delight in saying, this is pure food. I bless this food. And it is so pure and so wonderful. And what do we drink? We drink water. What do we eat? We eat the pure foods that are not dumped in with all of the spices. And now you say, well, that's taking the fun out of it. Well, okay. A dirty mind has fun doing dirty things. A body like Douglas had that was pure by definition, no body fat, no nothing, he was just a fantastically healthy person. Did you have diabetes at the time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even with that, he was fantastically healthy. Now, what did he do? He went back to being the person he was before because that's what he remembered. Now, why is he here? Why is he here? Why isn't he out doing his thing? Well, he's here because perhaps he's thinking, maybe I want to walk my spiritual path more than I thought. Maybe I want to really have fun. Ellen, what does any human being say is the ultimate of a happiness? What condition are they in when they're in the ultimate of their happiness? Anyone can tell me. What's the word?
Bliss.
Bliss. Bliss. And where do you get bliss?
From within.
Yeah, from within. But you get bliss when you are untouched by the world around you. You know, you're one-pointed, not possessed, untouched by the world around you. And how wonderful that is. And where do you get that bliss? How do you learn it? Well, you can just sort of tune into it, because you do have a direct line to your divine within you, and just tune into it. Or what can you do? You could die. And do you go in bliss when you die?
Could be.
Could be. And perhaps you don't go in bliss. When don't you go in bliss when you die? When you believe there's a hell. When you believe that there's a purgatory. When you believe there's ugliness after we leave this body. When you leave this body, whether you like it or not, your next experience, your next dimension, is reinheit, absolutely pure and perfect without flaw. You feel a little uncomfortable there because you're not used to that, but that's what it is. And you have an opportunity to stay in that purity without flaw in consciousness if you want to, or you can mess it up, as we did on this dimension. How many people do you know who are unaware of any war, any poverty, any sickness, any death, any unhappiness in this world that we live in? How many people do you know that are like that? Not very many, if any. The Dalai Lama is not even like that, and as wonderful a guy as he is, because he is taking care of his flock. Now, if the Dalai Lama really were there, he would just be himself. And if people followed him, that's nice. If they didn't follow him, it's nice, you know. He would live what he believes so completely. Well, he does live what he believes, that's right, that he's got to take care of his flock. And do you think the Pope is happy? And do you think the Pope is on a spiritual path? No way. The Pope is on his Catholic path that teaches the philosophy of the Catholic Church, and that's what the Pope is. He is the ultimate of what they teach. And what do they teach? They teach the 1,001 steps in their activity. The Jews, the same way. They have 1,001,001 steps that you go in Jewish. And in Mohammedism, the same thing. The only groups that are really getting with it a little bit are the New Thought people who are saying, walk your own path. Go within to the Father who seeth in secret, and the Father rewards thee openly. So that sort of thing. And then, who said that? How far away has Christianity drifted from the teachings of Christ? If we want to be, we follow whatever it is that we are. Now, when you find out what it is you want to be, you can have it. And you say, well, Herb, if you found out what it is you want to be, why do you fool around with us and mess around with us and get upset with us? Well, if you ever think I'm upset with you, no matter how I act toward you, you are silly. You read the story of the Khidr and Moses, remember? Mm-hmm. And the Khidr lived his life in perfect order for him. And Moses said, well, you've got a link to God. I want to be with you. I want to walk with you, and I want to learn from you. And yet he judged everything the Khidr did. He was not one-pointed at all. He thought of many attitudes. You know, why did you do it? Because of this, or this, or this? You know? And the Khidr finally said, hey, look, you're not ready to walk my path because you judge everything. You judge everything. And when you don't judge anymore, then you're ready for the spiritual path. Well, Herb, that means nobody's ready for the spiritual path. That's true. Can you be ready?
Yes.
How?
By not judging.
Judge not, lest ye be judged. For with whatever judgment you judge, so shall you be judged. I mean, these words of Jesus, they're rattling around for 2,000 years, and people want to go off on a tangent to the philosophy that he taught. Be yourself and have fun. He taught that. He said, let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, how cool. Little children, bunch of little rattlesnakes, you know? They're all doing their own little thing, having their own little ball. And isn't it wonderful? Aren't they beautiful? Aren't they so uninhibited, so unlimited, so absolutely great? Would that we could be more like them. We've gotten the message over the years, time and again. We don't need the Egyptian Book of the Dead. We don't need the other books of the dead that are rampant in all other faiths. We need only one thing, and that is to be our divine self. And we are our divine self when we put our attention on it. So, put your attention on it and enjoy it, because that's what it's all about. And as you do it, you know that I'm right there holding your hand saying, I love you, I love you, I love you.